Do you know these chords? They are some of the most recognisable in classical music, the opening chords of Beethoven's Fifth Symphony. But I bet you've never heard the symphony played quite like this. Pianist Simon Tedeschi and violinist Ian Cooper are masters of their craft, and together they take classical music and add their own touch to it, as Ian describes.
So many times you hear an old song done in the style that is newer than the song. For example, Gregorian chants, you do them to house beats or drum beats, or old classical pieces that have been done in a swing style, say. But it's rare that you go the other way, and that is you pick a modern song, but you give it a treatment that happened before the song was written. So we love taking modern songs, but giving them a classical, say, feel. That's simply because Simon and I have both grown up playing classical music, that's in our blood already. And it really doesn't matter what the device is or what the palette is that you're given, you can really associate any style on top of it. We really actually don't think too hard about it. We just think, okay, what do we want to do? And then how we achieve it is actually a little bit second nature. It's difficult to explain.
And so the chords and the between, say, classical chords and jazz chords, what are the similarities between those and the notes and the harmonies? How do you meld those together? What are the similarities in those?
We actually don't change them much at all. We might add a little colour. In other words, we might take a simple major chord and change its colour. We might add a sixth or a seventh or a flat nine, but it's still basically a major chord, but it might be a little bit more harmonically embellished. The other thing, of course, you can do is change the rhythm of the melody. A quick example of that is, pick some bar. Jesu, Joy of Man's Desiring originally was intended like this. But if you were to swing that, say, and do it in a bit of a jazz style, you might do something like this. Actually, that's more like a bit of an Irish jig, but you get the feeling, right? So that's certainly not the rhythm that Bach intended, but we've kept the melody and we've kept the chords. We've just changed the rhythm. Now, Simon, being the harmony guy that accompanies the rhythm, he's the guy to talk to about what he would do behind me doing that.
Ideally, and this doesn't happen all the time, but ideally I'm not thinking anything and I'm just reacting and it's all happening around me, but I'm letting the unconscious processes work, which have been hammered into my unconscious by repeated practice and donkey work. But usually things are not as utopian and ideal as that, and I'm thinking, how can I best compliment Ian and what he's doing? How can I do justice to the composer's intentions, but also do justice to my own personal take on the piece?
So when you're both playing together, or when you're playing with anybody else, what, when you're talking about accompanying people and bringing out different melodies and accompanying them as opposed to just playing, what sort of things do you have to keep in mind, and when would you sort of take over, and when would you let the other person take over?
When I've been playing as long as I have with someone like Ian, it becomes second nature. He will do a slight physical gesture which will immediately convey to me that I should play something, or that we're going to alternate phrases, or that we're going to do four bar phrases each or two bar phrases. And more often than not, I get that right. It's really about knowing someone so well, knowing their style. Ian has a unique style, and I'm here to make Ian sound good, and he's here to make me sound good.
What I'm getting from both of you is that you've got a huge amount of respect for the history of music and for the classical composers and for the modern composers, mm-hmm. but you like to put your own sort of touch above it all. What sort of reaction do you get from other people, music in the music world?
The classical people hate us because we're stealing their songs and giving them a new treatment. The jazz people hate us because we're taking songs that weren't originally meant for jazz. No, I'm just kidding. Audiences love it because it's refreshing. It's a new way of hearing such and such a piece that you either love or you hate. Fortunately for us, our audience happen to love what we do with our mixtures of styles. So, but one has to be careful not to go overboard and do too much of a treatment to a song, particularly, or a piece of music, particularly that a particular audience member may have an association with. Like, it could have been their wedding song, or it could mean something to them, and then to have us do it in a different style could be sacrilegious to that person. That's just the luck of the draw, and we hope never to do that. But it's certainly good fun.
You obviously like experimenting. You have a cello, which I would describe it, it's about the same size as a standard violin.
It's exactly the same size as a standard violin.
And when it's held up to play, it looks sort of in the shape of Australia almost, with a sort of bridge over to New Zealand as the fretboard. But I think the audience would be expecting the violin sound, because you play it just like a violin,
mm-hmm.
except the cello sound comes out. Mm-hmm. How did you come about making that beautiful instrument?
Well, here's a little tip, Emma. I'm a very lazy violinist. I don't want to learn the full-size cello, because that in itself is a massive job. I have a hard enough time playing the violin. So me and a mad scientist inventor guy, David Guscott from Toowoomba, developed a violin-scale cello. Now, it doesn't work acoustically, because Stradivarius and Amati and all the makers have proved over the years that the shape and volume of the box of violins and cellos are specific to the tones and the frequencies that they need to reproduce. In other words, you cannot acoustically make cello frequencies come out of a violin size box. So, with the help of the mad scientist and electronics, we have achieved that. But the heart of it is that this cello, this violin-scale cello, has very, very thick strings on it, which the way you get a note out of an instrument is based on mass of the string, length of the string, and tension. That's the three. So if I let the tension off that string, it's going to go down in pitch. And if I add the tension, it's going to go up again. By the same time, if I add mass to that string, it's also going to go down in pitch. Now, if I lowered this string, this violin string, to that of a cello tone, or a cello note, there's the lowest note on a cello. It sounds pretty floppy. That's just too loose to play. So what you can do is add mass to it, but keep the tension. And by adding mass, you just make it a thicker string. But you keep the tension, a playable, useful tension. So that's what we've done with the mellow yellow cello.
As you can hear, Simon and Ian have a passion for pushing the boundaries of what has come before them, and they're not afraid to try something different. Listening to them, you are taken on a musical journey from 18th century Europe to the jazz halls of America and back again.